WSB's Money Matters with Wes Moss. Certified financial planner and chief investment strategist from Atlantis Capital Investment Advisors. Wes talks to you about investing and saving for the future. Brought to you every Sunday by RBM of Atlanta Mercedes-Benz Sandy Springs.
A good Sunday morning. Here on a show about Apple and apples. On a Sunday morning, I feel like we should be playing John Cougar Mellencamp in the background, Small Town, because we're kind of going back to the small town lifestyle. And I grew up, I guess, in a small town, not even a town, it was a country, in the country. And one of my favorite jobs was working on an orchard, Northbrook Orchard. And I was just back in Pennsylvania about a month ago. And went back to that same orchard. And the orchard is pretty much the same. It's turned a little bit more into a fancy schmancy, a little fancy schmancy orchard that has like a little shop and it, you know, sells like $5 apples. And it's still the same apple spice donuts that they make right there. And it inspired me to talk about kind of my favorite food, but the industry behind two of the biggest names that in your life, if you're a consumer, just on this planet, you can't get away from Apple and apples. And you probably think, Wes, you've gone crazy. What are you doing talking about apples, the fruit? I'm talking about the fruit. So, but I'm also talking about Apple, the trillion-dollar company. That not long ago reached the trillion-dollar mark, first U.S. company to ever do that. And it's just a massive, massive enterprise that is jaw-dropping and inspiring to even talk about. So, but I think it almost an even more interesting story that I want to get to today. And again, this show would be titled, if it were just one show, one Apple and apples. Because the getting to an Apple industry that we have today has changed so much in the last 20 years, and it's super exciting. I've been into the food and agricultural business lately just to understand. It's funny. It's one of these industries where you don't think about it as much, but it's such a part of the fabric in America. And what reminded me this week to talk about apples, and I've wanted to talk about this for probably a year now, is the Walmart numbers. Walmart just came out and they're doing billions of dollars in just their grocery business. And a big part of that, of course, is the advent of, let's call it, the new, better, much better, more expensive industry that is actually producing and growing apples. We're talking about a multi-billion dollar industry, approaching a $10 billion industry in America. And there's been such a significant change that it's worth sharing that story. And it's the opposite of this. I also have, if you haven't heard of this yet, you'll probably hear about it because it's kind of one of the most, this is a true grand slam story. And this is the story, very briefly, of Peter Rahal, who at the age of 30, call it 30, at the age of 27, founded a company called RX Bar. RX as in the prescription bar, as in one of the Power Bar, Luna Bar bars you see in the grocery store today. We take for granted there's hundreds of these things or different varieties, but only 5 or 6 years ago, it was limited in the health food space. So in his basement, classic entrepreneur story, in his basement, literally with a Cuisinart, ground up fig and cashews and egg whites and some concoction and made a vegan or paleo energy bar that was super healthy for his contingency of CrossFitters, the people that work out in these CrossFit gyms around America, which was an explosion of economic growth in its own right, going back, call it, over the past decade. But they have evolved to selling high quality, nutritious products. And Peter Rahal and his partner said, I think that there's a little bit of an opportunity here, even though this is a crowded space. How can you make money in another energy bar? Well, let's do one that's healthy, super paleo healthy, so that CrossFitters can get breakfast or a snack when they're going back to work. And after he started this in 2013, didn't sell his first bar until 2014. And then in 2017, so 14, 15, 16, 17, 4 years later, sold his little RX bar company to Kellogg's. We've probably heard of that company. For $600 million. $600 million. And it's an entrepreneurial story that is just one of those right time, perfect product, perfect place, perfect void in the market. And you have a company that can get real traction. And then a bigger company says, wow, we could really take this thing across the globe. And that's how you get a multiple for a business that's already firing on all cylinders. And let's take it nationally. Let's take it around the globe. And that way they can pay a premium for it, but they can make their money back in a couple of years. And that's exactly what happened. And that was a void and a problem that was effectively solved over the course of a couple of years. Over the course of, let's call it 60, not even 60 months, an individual who at the time wasn't employed or had a job that he hated in his later 20s, dropped out with a partner, saw a void in the market, made a new food, if you will, and within just a couple of years, solved this economic problem or void, if you will, not a problem, and just created a massive, massive industry. Now, let's arguably, this is a multi-billion dollar company or division of a multi-billion dollar company. Completely the opposite of that is filling the void in something like what you and I have come to know is just the Apple. An apple a day. Because it's a lot more difficult and it takes a lot more time to find a new apple. And then to grow those new apples that might be good and then to get them into channels and then to sell them. It's not something that can be solved over the course of a month in the basement with a Cuisinart. And that's why this story today is so fascinating to me. And when it comes to the fruit and the economy behind this fruit. And I'm not just going to talk about the Apple fruit. I'm going to talk about Apple, the company, too, just because I've been wanting to talk about both of these. And I think this week presented the opportunity to say, wait, these are two fascinating economic stories that you have to know about. And I'm excited about it. And for some reason, and maybe I'm not alone. If you're listening, you're thinking, wait a minute, you know what? Or maybe you feel the same way. I have this special love for apples. Again, apples is as in eating. I love the $1 trillion Apple too, which is a company that carries the iPhone that has saved me so much time with all the functionality in the world. Apple is the company, the story we all talk about today. But you probably know a lot about what's happening at Apple, the world's largest company. But Apple already gets a lot of press. What gets much less press is the Apple, the fruit. And again, as a kid, I brought this. Maybe it's because of working in an orchard. And when I was a kid, I read these value tales, or my parents made me read these books. They're called value tales, and they're basically these cartoon books about historic figures that presented one particular value that was easy to tell. Like Abraham Lincoln's story was about honesty. And there were stories of athletes that were, say, courage, Jackie Robinson. I think Mario Lemieux was something like persistence or hard work. But the story of Johnny Appleseed written about was the value of love and just how he cared so much for what he was doing, which was growing apples. And again, I grew up and I worked on an orchard for a summer or two. But for some reason, I've always had this love for apples, and maybe a long time ago, or I've always been in search of, on the food side, I've always been in search of the perfect apple, what's the best apple to eat at the store, and that's what this economic story is all about, because there's been a remarkable change in the apple industry since you were a kid. Whoever, unless you're 27 or 30, unless if you are 30 plus and you're listening, or even in your later 20s, apples have changed how over since in the court in the short in the course of your lifetime. Think about how blah or bad apples were in your grocery store, go back only 10 years, go back 15 years. There were basically three kinds of apples. I call it the apple stoplight because it was just the red, the green, and the yellow. And the red, which was such a, it was almost the entire business, and to some extent still is a big part of the business, the red delicious, which was anything but delicious. The skin was like leather. The interior of the apple was mushy, and it wasn't crisp like you want it to be. It was like, it really should be called the red undelicious as an apple. And you remember the Granny Smith? I remember that. That was like my refuge as a kid. Well, at least this apple is crisp and it had some flavor, but you had to like eat it with a jar of peanut butter to also make it good. Too tart. And it was a tough, tough business to be in. So I've been reading about the founders of what I'll talk to you about today, really the new Apple world that we live in. And the story is about two guys, one named Dennis Courtier, who's an apple grower and owns an orchard in Lake City, Minnesota, and David Bedford, who's an apple breeder, or like basically an apple inventor, if you will. So that's what we're going to this story is just fantastic. So just stay with this entire hour of Money Matters, or if you're listening via podcast, to learn about this, what is a fascinating story that really starts back in the 1980s. Apples, apple growers, so apple farmers were going broke. Red Delicious was just this commodity, and apple growers were floundering because the pricing power, if you look at a chart back in the 80s, they had no pricing power. And every single apple orchard grew them. So you had this vast commodity and they could barely make a living because they had no pricing power. Fortunately, there was this great evolution in the apple business and the discovery of the miracle apple, which has arguably given this biblical fruit its biggest surge in popularity since, I don't know, probably since the Bible, or maybe since the phrase an apple a day came to bear. An apple a day keeps the doctor away, which came from some other, I guess, English proverb that originally was, eat an apple on going to bed and you'll keep the doctor from earning his bread. We're going to talk more about this story as soon as Money Matters gets back. I know you're headed to church, brunch, golf on kind of a steamy August weekend. Stay tuned. More Money Matters straight ahead.
This is Scott Slade, host of Atlanta's Morning News on News 95.5 at AM 750 WSB. We'll cover breaking news, Kirk Mellish weather, and traffic red alerts throughout the weekend. And the Southeast's largest news team is here for you first thing Monday morning when you head back to work. News 95.5 at AM 750 WSB. Now back to Wes Moss and the money and investing advice you need.
Apple pizza's pumpkin pie.
Good morning. Welcome back to Money Matters. Talking about apples. Ryan and I were just talking about the origin of the apple a day keeps the doctor away. Everything was started in Old England, didn't it? In Wales, 1860s, this started. Eat an apple before going to bed, and you'll keep the doctor from earning his bread. And then it started really in earnest in the year 1900 or 1899. Keeping an apple a day keeps the doctor away. Before that, you figure, well, why wasn't it before that? Well, before that, you were not concerned with keeping the doctor away. You were concerned about not getting eaten by a coyote or shot with a mullet ball or just dying from the plague. You were not trying to keep the doctor away at the time. You were trying to find the doctor. Anyway, so we go back to this story that is, to me, is one of the coolest economic stories. It's the opposite of the RX bar. The RX bar, this thing started in a couple of years. This guy made, Peter Rahal, made $600 million. This story did not happen that way because it takes a long time to find a better apple. Enter the not-so-mad scientist David Bedford, an agricultural scientist that said back in the early 1980s, hey, there's got to be a better way when it comes to the apple business. I can do better than red, yellow, green in the grocery store. Even though America at the time just wasn't ready for it. Stay tuned. Apple and apples update in history. Just fascinating stuff. when money matters.
Certified financial planner and chief investment strategist from Atlantis Capital Investment Advisors. Wes talks to you about investing and saving for the future. Brought to you every Sunday by RBM of Atlanta Mercedes-Benz, Sandy Springs.
Good morning. Welcome back to Money Matters here on a Sunday morning. Woo-hoo, talking about apples. And Apple, the trillion-dollar company, and then the Apple's business. It's about, well, let's call it approaching $10 billion. And a big part of the grocery economy, which is a trillion-dollar industry in its own right. And as we continue this story through, I've been always in search of, and maybe you feel the same way. There's something visceral about apples because they're kind of like the lifeblood of the economic food chain. And I think if you don't have good apples, you don't have you've got a problem with the whole food chain. And that has changed over time. As go back, if you're just tuning in, you go back 30, 20, even 20 years, 15 years, apples sucked. You go into a store 15 years ago, they had red, yellow, green. That's it. And the reds that were red delicious and they were really undelicious. And a scientist and an apple grower really set out to change that. And that's this massive evolution of the economy that is now the apple business. And as you can imagine, because this is a species, this is a fruit, it doesn't just change overnight. You can't just say, oh, I've just invented a better apple. Let's change everything. It doesn't work that way. So if you're just tuning into our story, we're at the point where we're saying, well, how do we make this better? And enter in David Bedford, who's effectively an agricultural scientist that back in the early 1980s said, hey, there's got to be a better way when it comes to the apple business. And he loved fruit, but he struggled to ever find a good apple. And in college, a friend of his brought down, and this is from one of my favorite places on earth, an orchard in Michigan. He brought down a bushel of yellow apples, and they were just spectacular. And David was amazed, and he said, why don't we have more of these? Why can't you get this in the store? Why aren't there more varieties of better apples? So he became, and this is while he was in college, he said, you know what? That's it. I'm taking biology for a reason. He became an apple breeder, an apple inventor, if you will, and devoted his life to finding better apples in the quest for the perfect apple. And you got to create this. But imagine how hard that would be. You got to mix and match different apples. You have to crossbreed the varieties that we started with. You got to get the seeds, then you have to cross them, then you get the seeds, then you plant the seeds, then you have to grow, and you got to wait. And then the fruit and the apple tree, about 5 years later, you get some apples, or at least enough to really pick. What makes this so hard, as you can maybe step two or phase two of this story, is how difficult it is to cross these things and actually get something that's good. So 99.999% of these crosses in Bedford's quest to find a better apple, they just weren't any good. They weren't any good or better than the undelicious that America had grown to know. So this takes a lot of time, and it takes thousands and thousands and thousands of trees. And so he created this vast trial orchard at the University of Minnesota. 6,000 trees, all little hybrid apple trees, all different varieties or different percentages of already existing apples, blend these things together. Again, a tall order in its own right to try to have something just slightly new and slightly new and slightly new. And then even that many, 6,000 may not produce a new apple that's good enough to get introduced to the market. And you literally have to taste hundreds and thousands of apples throughout the year, day after day after day after day. The story behind the discovery was not an accident, though. As we talk about this miracle apple that kind of changed the game. So it's this tremendous undertaking. It wasn't just like, oh, we accidentally found this great apple. That is not the case. It was this effort behind crossbreeding just so many different varieties to create something new. In Bedford, there's a specific day, and it was just eureka moment. And he tasted an apple from tree number 1,711. And for David, it was so good, this new apple, that he was confused and intrigued at the same time. And it reminded him, this apple reminded him of the very best watermelon that he had ever tasted, and how watermelon kind of breaks off in these big crisp chunks, almost like ice chunks sliding from a glacier. And the new apple, though, was also sweet. And all this happened in the early 1980s. So he named the apple Honey Crisp, which today is known in apple circles as the miracle apple. Now you're starting to perk up because you probably had one of these Honey Crisps, and it probably changed the game for apples that you want to eat. And if you haven't had a Honey Crisp, you're in for a treat. But it also changed the game for the entire apple industry. Here's more of the story. Even after he found that perfect apple, he couldn't convince growers to buy them because at the time, again, back in the early 1980s, grocery stores weren't ready for them. This was before the dawn of what you and I both know today, the dawn of kale. When you walk into the store, it's the first thing you see if you go into Fresh Market. Organic fennel and imported lemon drop, chili peppers. 20 years ago, grocery stores, the vegetable produce section was just a lot more basic. Stores weren't ready for them. Now enter Dennis Courtier, the apple grower we talked about who was in Minnesota, who was always trying to find a better apple and going out of business because he was selling a bunch of commodity, leathery, mushy, red, undelicious apples. And Courtier's kind of like, sounds like a guy after my own heart, always on the search for the perfect apple, the better apple. So he bet big. These two knew each other, and they used to visit, and he would go to the test orchard, and he loved this apple, and he thought, you know what? This is a game changer. So he bet big on the Honey Crisp, and he planted thousands of these trees. And guess what? It paid off. By the time he had enough Honey Crisp to really sell, as you can imagine, call it a half a decade later, grocery stores were starting to get ready for this. Grocery stores were starting to evolve. The boring cabbage had been replaced by organic kale. The organic kale, I call that the revolution of produce. It was getting traction. So stores were now open to new varieties beyond stoplight apples, red, yellow, green. And the bet worked. Honey Crisp took off. And they didn't just sell well. And this is what, to me, grabbed me most about this story. They didn't just sell well. They didn't just sell better than the old apples. Honey Crisps became, and this is during certain periods of the year once they were introduced, not every single day or every single month, but became the number one selling or number one grossing product in the entire grocery store. Think about this. The grocery store business has been a couple hundred years, and all of a sudden, something that's already been there for a century, a new variety now becomes the number one item grossing revenue of the entire grocery store. Not just the best-selling fruit, but the best-selling product in the whole store. More than soda, more than peanut butter, more than chocolate chip cookies. There was zero revenue for the Honey Crisp apples in the 1990s before it started. Today, there are more than 16.5 million bushels getting sold or getting produced, let's say. Bushels, 42 pounds, by the way. That's almost 1 billion pounds of apples, 700 million pounds of these apples getting produced every year. And that number is still exploding higher. What's also interesting about this story is that until recently, apples were just a commodity. Honey Crisp were then patented, but patents wear off. Patents wear off in about 20 years. So the industry has modernized now. Their marketing and how they trademark varieties. Now there's this expanded list of apple names maybe you've heard and maybe you'll now start to pay attention to this, call it almost a $10 billion industry when you walk into Kroger and you walk into Publix, you go to Fresh Market. The Sweet Tango, one of the first branded apples because it's a trademark. Pink Crisp apples, Pink Ladies, by the way, they're the same exact apple, but they have two different trademark names. One group calls them Pink Crisp. The other Pink Lady. So apples are now a brand. Apples as a fruit are now have become or evolved very recently into a brand with their own marketing. They have names like the Envy Apple, the Jazz, the Pacific Rose Pinata. My favorite by far, though, still over the last, I guess, 2 years, discovered this Pink Crisp or the Pink Lady, that brand. They're the same apple. It was a cross between the Western Australia. It was developed in Australia. It was a cross between the Golden Delicious and the Lady Williams apple. You can tell I get into this. By the way, so think about this next time. You're in the grocery store and you see now this expanded list and how far apples have come and how much more you and I spend on apples today because they're just better and they're phenomenally good for you. I mean, if you look up I looked up the caloric intake or how good these things are for you. The Honeycrisp apple or the Pink Crisp, which was a little bit different than Honeycrisp, it only has 50 calories and zero sodium, just very good for you. And it's like an entire meal. So think about this next time you walk into the store. Here's my apple taste rank, by the way. Number one, so I'll go from my top, let's call it five or six, Fuji. Then better is Braeburn, then better is Honeycrisp, then a little better. I still think Gala and Jazz are a little better. Number two, drumroll, the Koru. I don't even know how you pronounce this. K-O-R-U. Number one in my heart, in my kitchen, the Pink Lady or the Crisps Pink, which are the same exact apple. They will change the game for you. By the way, we eat about $7 billion worth of apples every year. That's retail prices. U.S. has about 7,500 apple producers that grow about 250 million bushels every year. That's about 11 billion pounds, by the way. So it's a big part of agriculture. The top 10 varieties produced, again, a lot of that same list. Red Delicious is still in there, but then you've got all these new areas like Crisp, Pink Lady, Empire. The production, remember also, it's not just apples, it's apple juice and everything else beyond that. And we export 20% of the apples that we grow in the United States. On average, we consume 18.5 pounds per person per year. So as a nation, that's like $6 or $7 billion worth of apples that we eat. Pretty phenomenal industry. Top two selling brands. We did some math here as a proxy. Average price per pound, about $1.21. Still, the Gala apple is close to top of the charts as these other varieties I just mentioned are kind of just brand new and only a few years old, and they're still making their way. By the way, Walmart earnings this week, phenomenal. The stock up almost 9% for the week. Apples are an important part of the food economy, which is, of course, one of the largest industries in the United States. Walmart just this week just blew out earnings expectations. The stock up almost 9%. That's a remarkable move for a company that's like an aircraft carrier in the retail industry, in the grocery business. But they're firing on all cylinders. Their online business up 40%. Click and pickup business doing very well. Part of that story is the $2 billion worth of apples that they sell every year. And I love one analyst note this week about Walmart. Walmart just put Amazon on notice. How do you like them apples? Couldn't resist. Stay tuned. We got a lot more about the other apple, the $1 trillion apple, and then your phone calls and questions here on a Sunday morning. Stay tuned. You're listening to Money Matters right here. News 95.5 and AM 750 WSB.
Now here's more great money and investment advice from certified financial planner Wes Moss.
Jason, that is awesome. Good morning. Welcome to Money Matters. We're talking the fruit apple, which either you think this is the worst Money Matters show of all time or the best. I think it's gonna fall into one of those two categories. Because you could either care less about the apple industry or your heart is warmed today. Because we talked about one of your favorite foods, finding the best apple, and this, call it, multi-billion dollar industry that drives, it's kind of at the core of the food industry in America. Now, the other apple is just an amazing story. This month, is the milestone of the century when it comes to publicly traded companies, a trillion-dollar company, first ever company to hit $1 trillion. You could have invested $990 in Apple back its IPO day, December of 1980. So call it a grant. You could have put $1,000 into Apple stock back then, and it would be worth $550,000 today. So $1,000 grew to $550,000 today. Just remarkable. And it continues to fire on all cylinders. So I'll talk about some of the economics of Apple. Again, it's a stock that I've owned, particularly since it started paying a dividend, which it does as well. So it's kind of been doing a lot of different things for investors. One of the original founders, Ronald Wayne, who I didn't know about, Wozniak and Steve Jobs, he sold his shares back in 1977 before the IPO for $800. Ooh. Be worth, I don't know, $30 billion today. He says that he does not regret this decision. Right. Good morning. Welcome to Money Matters. We're going to come back talking about the trillion-dollar Apple in the 10 o'clock hour. Stay tuned. More Money Matters right here, News 95.5 AM 750 WSB.